Welcome to the Tech Tips webinar series presented by the U.S. Small Business Administration and Microsoft. I'm Adalberto Quijada, Director of the SBA's Santa Ana District Office. The SBA's simple but important mission is to help people start and grow businesses that create jobs and power our economy forward. We do this by providing billions of dollars in access to capital, working to ensure small businesses earn their fair share of federal contracts, and by funding a nationwide network of mentors and experts in every field of business. To find your local resources, please visit sba.gov. Small business owners need to understand the importance of technology in running profitable and efficient ventures. That's why I am very pleased my office led the effort to establish this partnership with Microsoft as we present a series of webinars to help you utilize technology in running and growing your business. We're proud to inform, educate, and connect entrepreneurs, and we thank you for viewing today's webinar.
Hi, good afternoon. My name is Sherman Kranzer with Microsoft. Thank you so much for joining us today. Today we're going to be talking about marketing, 5 steps to increase your brand awareness and increase sales and revenue. Before we get into that, I want to say thank you to the SBA. You know, this partnership with the Small Business Administration is extremely important to Microsoft. As one of our pillars to our motivations here is to really bring education to the small to medium-sized business market. So thank you to the SBA for coming together and helping us put together this great program. So today, you know, we're talking about one of the biggest pillars in business, and I think a lot of times we have, it's easy to forget, it's easy to dismiss, and if we want to grow and become, you know, really truly successful business owners, we really need to take a deep look into the specifics of marketing and how to increase the sales and revenue streams. So my name is Sherman Kranzer, and I'm the Partner Channel Development Manager for the Western United States. And what I do is I specialize in helping businesses bring more member benefits to their members by providing these education type of resources. So moving into the first thing to really discuss is about accelerating your business. So we're going to cover 3 different pillars today, and the first one really is business. So, you know, many businesses want to grow, and the reality is a lot of businesses get kind of caught up in the everyday, day-to-day minutia of just trying to survive and do this. However, you know, they want to get bigger, but they don't know. They don't know who to target, how to actually market their business. They don't know how to get out there and effectively grow their business, because they actually might be, you know, excellent at painting cars. However, are they excellent at bringing new business? Are they excellent marketers? Are they excellent salespeople? A lot of times they're not. But that's okay, because that's what we're here to help you understand today. Secondly, you know, as you grow and as you start figuring out what to target, the next thing to talk about, the next thing to understand is velocity. Velocity of the leads, velocity of sales. And what we want to do is talk about how to put together a repeatable strategy for you, so that when, you know, you're promoting your business through sales and marketing techniques, you understand how to actually effectively take those leads and turn them into sales, turn them into, you know, actual clients, lifetime value type of clients. And lastly, we want to talk a little bit about sales in general today. We want you to help you understand how to be more efficient when you finally have that lead. We want you to understand how to increase the way, the velocity, and using the business velocity, increase the buying power, the purchases from those clients that you're talking to. So what we're going to cover today is 5 steps. And really, the first one is understanding your target market. That's really, really important to do. Second, we're going to talk about the audience and defining the audience after you kind of hear about the target market. We're going to find out who has the purchasing power, and this is actually quite powerful, what we're going to bring to you today. We're going to talk about messaging types, and then we're going to move on how to engage and using the different types of methods. Before we get into it, I want to introduce a near and dear friend of mine, Dean Edouard. Dean is a great, great partner for Microsoft. He's a visionary in his industry, and I want to go ahead and pass it off. Dean, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and kind of what you do?
Well, Sherman, I want to thank you very much for having me on today. It was a great honor to be here and to speak to all of you out in the cloud listening to this today. UGM is a small business consultancy firm based here in Los Angeles. We have clients throughout the United States, from New York through Florida, into Texas, et cetera, and we're honored to have them. And they are small businesses, they're medium-sized businesses. Some are well-known names, some are one-man law firms, but they all have one thing in common, and that is they need to grow their business.
Great. Well, Dean, what do you think are some of the reasons? I know we're going to kind of get into it, but I would really like to know your opinion on how you think small businesses are, you know, going to market today with their strategy.
Well, Sherman, it's all about knowing the audience. And let's describe who we talk to on a normal daily basis. Because if you look at your customer sets, chances are they aren't just one stereotype person. They belong to what I call the rainbow of folks. And so when you look at like Gen Y, the millennials out there, they were born from 1982 to 2004. And you know, these numbers sometimes change over depending upon whether you're looking at US government rules or documentation, or you're looking at Wikipedia, et cetera. But generally speaking, that's the general age range of Gen Y.
That's the youngest generation, right? That's pretty much the youngest one that's coming into the marketplace?
No, they're the youngest in terms of being middle management.
But, okay, I got you.
But if you take a look at Gen X, for instance, which is upper management typically, these are the folks born between 1965 and 1985. And their job out there is really basically to run businesses. They're the new CEOs or presidents oncoming.
Okay.
But they're upper management and they're ready to rock and roll. And this is a whole group of folks that have lived through a whole series of events, from being young salespeople or young marketers or young entrepreneurs. And now they've reached a maturity age that says that they are pretty much in control and command.
It's funny that you talk about Generation X. I'm Generation X, and I remember growing up and everyone saying, oh my gosh, Generation X. You know, are they ever going to amount to anything? And I think from my point of view, I don't know about yours, but if I'm looking at the millennials, you know, a lot of my current colleagues that are in Generation X are thinking, I wonder about Generation Y or the millennials, right? Yeah. I don't know if you heard a lot about the same thing, but does that resonate with you?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, all generations go through that, and Gen Ys will go through it as well. So you feel comfortable that eventually they'll have the same questions about the next one down, which is Gen Z. But let's don't forget about these guys. These guys are still around, and I happen to be a baby boomer, and I think that we're going to be around for a while. You can't ignore us. We're there, and in many cases, we're there as the owners of small businesses, and in many cases, we're chairmen and presidents of companies. We're on board of directors. We actually volunteer probably a lot in the community as well. So we're pretty active. And so you can't ignore them as an audience for your business. They are pervasive. They're out there. They're active still. And they're not going to go away anytime soon. But the Gen Zero, also known as the greatest generation, courtesy of Tom Brokaw and his book, we can't ignore the World War II guys and the Silent Generation, which is just a little bit above them. They're there still, and if you don't think that they're active in the marketplace, just look at Summer Redstone over at Viacom and others that are still in captains of the industry, from Carl Icahn to Warren Buffett. These are a pervasive group of people, and we can't ignore them. They're still there, and they have a lot of powerful buying power. And in case you didn't notice, a lot of retired folks have a lot of disposable income as well, so we can't ignore that as a group. That basically comes into what we call the rainbow effect of who your customers really are. And you have to understand who your marketplace is. Because if you look at your customers, chances are they spread across all of those people that we just talked about in terms of age group. And they all have a different way of looking at things. And those ways of looking at things are what we're going to be talking about today, in more in detail, because knowing who your audience is will tell us how to actually effectively market to them.
So Dean, you know, just staying on that, you know, and you're an expert here, you know, you've run a business for a long time. Do you think in all your interactions with other small to medium-sized businesses, do you think that when they're selling something or marketing something, they're actually thinking about the different groups and actually when they're putting together their go-to-market plan?
Well, Sherman, I actually don't believe that they are.
Okay.
I think if you take a look at advertisements that are either in newspapers or in magazines, even if you look at websites, they tend to be either very generic in terms of talking to a broad audience, or they're specific to an audience and they ignore the other audiences. Your voice, the voice of your customer, has to be echoed back by your sales and marketing teams to be effectively managing into your brand, into their conscience. When they decide to go out to the market and buy something, you want to be top of mind. And the way you're top of mind is because you've given them a message that resonates with them and that they can actually remember. So, you know, we all know about catchphrases that we see, all about jingles and brands. Right?
Well,
they're engineered to understand who we are. And I'm not telling you not to go out and spend lots of money and try to create your own jingle, your own brand. But I think we can be very, very specific about how we target these marketing these folks by marketing specifically to the way they want to consume information. Because we all consume information and therefore advertisement, et cetera, differently. And with all due respect to those folks out there, including Microsoft, but Google, with Google Ads and Bing Ads, et cetera, really, are they effective? And I ask your audience, I wonder how many of you have really clicked on any of those ads. You've seen them and they've had some brand awareness and maybe you'll remember it. But really, it wasn't speaking to you. It was just noise in the background. So we need to be more than noise in the background.
I'm sure if it was Bing Ads, they definitely click through. I don't know about that other company. But I will also say, you know, I was a small business owner at one point, you know, and you're a business owner now. It seems like a lot of business owners, they are experts in their field, right? And the idea, I remember when I started my own business, it was, okay, marketing, radio, yeah. TV. And then I called them and I'm like, wait a minute, no, I can't do radio and TV because that is really expensive. Then it was like, well, you know, what do I do and how do I do it? I think a lot of businesses are in that exact same thought process. Would you agree?
Oh, absolutely. Totally agree. And, you know, we all have our limited scales in terms of budget. You know, our company can't go out and buy a Super Bowl ad, just can't do it. I know of some other companies that can. But not this company. And your companies out there, the people listening to this broadcast, probably can't afford a Super Bowl ad either. But it doesn't mean that we shouldn't market and we shouldn't be out there and we shouldn't get our brand aware. But at the same time, if I'm a small, you mentioned car painting earlier on. If I'm a car painter in Culver City, California, or I'm in Reno, Nevada, I don't really need to advertise to people in Texas. And so I need to be very specific about my market.
Oh, that's a great point. I think too many people do, you know, the shotgun effect. All right, so now we kind of see that there's different groups, right? And each group has a different probably thought process. So, you know, how does that apply to business? And I'll let you kind of go into the next part of our presentation.
Well, let's just take a look at defining an audience a little bit, because I want to bring some relevance or some aha moments maybe to the group here. So when you look at our generations, and if you look at, we have Gen X and Gen Y, there's that dark blue area over there called Gen Z. We didn't really talk a lot about Gen Z, but those are the 2003 and above guys. They are teenagers coming on to the buying spree here. But you know, if you look at this group, this is your group, and you kind of like say, this is the way my audience should look like, and then in terms of size and girth. But I want to take a look at what data.gov, which is a free website, by the way, that the United States government makes available to all businesses, regardless of size, that gives you a lot of statistical information. And you can use that inside Microsoft Excel, for instance, or Power BI for Business Intelligence to be able to understand a little bit more about that data. So I did. I went out and took a look at it and I said, well, hey, maybe let's take a look at the actual population. Because on the left, you see what we thought might be, and on the right is actually what's happening. And you'll notice that Gen Z wasn't as big as we think of Gen Y or Gen X. And the greatest generation and the baby boomers are about the same wedge age. But these are relative terms, right, in terms of buying capabilities and buying influences. And while Gen Z doesn't seem to be as big, and you would think it would be bigger, a lot of our Gen X's and Y's are waiting longer to have kids, and therefore those kids are not reaching a maturity level to be an influencer. I don't know, Sherman, when I grew up, my mom and dad kept asking me to how to get the 12.00 off of their VCR. And you know what? Those young generations are all technically savvy enough that they actually become business influencers, and we can't ignore them. So that's why we have Gen Z out there. Okay. But take a look at the way these things all plan out. You wouldn't probably expect that. And that's what we're going to go on the next slide here. So if we understand this is our population and we're trying to figure out what they're going to do, let's take a look a little bit about something about the decision-making process, because now all of a sudden those wedges change in terms of perspective. And you'll notice that the greatest generation of baby boomers have pretty large wedges, and that's because they're still very much influencers and or decision makers within small businesses. Those are your prospects and your customers. And yet Gen X and Gen Y are still there. They are definitely influencers. And Gen Z is showing up, but in a smaller segment. You have to understand that as I talk to these different people, they have to have different messaging. Because if you think about it, while the greatest generation is probably very strongly into iPads and tablets, et cetera, they're probably not very much into tweeting and in LinkedIn and that type of stuff. And so we have to understand their proper messaging.
So let's define decision maker first, because I think, you know, there could be some confusion behind that. You know, in your thoughts and how you're explaining this, Dean, you know, how would you define the decision maker? You know, because we have a lot of different populations here. Just want to, you know, for in business.
Well, I do some teaching on the side of Sherman, and one of the things I talked openly to some of my business students is, are you a decision maker or are you a decision approver? And you know, you need to be very careful here, because in many cases, small businesses, the upper management team are nothing more than business approvers. The actual decision making is being done at the lower ends of the management scale, and sometimes even at the worker level scale. And the recommendations flow up to the decision, quote unquote, maker. But it really is, they're approving the decision. And in this particular case, what you're seeing is decision approvers. Yeah. Really not decision makers.
Okay, so that's why it's so important to understand their target market, so that you're providing the right messaging to the different groups here, so that when it becomes an actual decision-making event, that group understands what you're trying to do.
Absolutely.
Okay, great.
Absolutely.
All right.
Let's take a look at the next one over, because now we have defined the market, let's understand how we target the market. And so you can look at these influencers that we've had, and you'll notice that the Gen Z's out there, the baby boomers, et cetera. But this is now looking at those from decision makers into decision influencers. And now all of a sudden, we're starting to see a whole different pattern. And you can see that Gen X and Gen Y have large scale slices here, because they're really what's going on in what's going in terms of decision making slash decision influencing. Now, you'll notice also that Gen Z is still there, because they are still viable influencers into people's making the buying decision. I would suggest that if you're going out and buying a television from a local retailer, that as a family unit, you probably find that the young kids in the group, whether they're grandkids or they're just the younger kids, they're actually having a say in what television you buy and what features are on it, et cetera. So keep those things in mind, is because more and more folks, as we look at them in terms of buying decisions, make it as a consumer decision, not necessarily as a business case decision. So who really does have the purchasing power? You know, we've now talked about decision makers and decision approvers and influencers. How has this all come together? And you can look at it by generation and understand that the processing power is incredibly great in the Gen X and Gen Y, because they're the ones who are driving the business. So when you think about it from a business-to-business standpoint, these are the people making the business case why we should buy this or do that. If you're looking from a consumer standpoint, they're also, if you look at baby boomers, Gen X and Gen Y, the greatest amount of consumer discretionary spending. Clearly, the teenagers don't have a lot of money on that. But and the greatest generation is budgeting heavily for retirement. So you can see that the Gen X and Gen Y, from, again, a relative perspective, these are our purchasing power segments. That may not come as a great shock to many people out there, because you go, hey, that's the midline. If you think about the advertising guys from 28 to 48, that's that group, right? So why not go after it? Except, remember, they may not be the decision makers, and they may not be the entire decision influencers. So we do have to keep in mind all those other wedges.
I love this. I mean, I think purchasing power is so big, and understanding that, who buys and whatnot. You know, it's really interesting about this graph. You know, Generation X, you know, who guessed it? We didn't turn out that bad. looks like we got a lot of power here. It's not like, you know, they just went right past us and on to the next one. So I think this is really good, Dean. I think that when you take a step back from your business, it's so easy, like we talked about, to be, you know, a great artist or a great painter or you know, have a small, you know, franchise business. But when you take a step back and you think, okay, what am I going to do today? I'm going to actually do some I'm going to focus on sales and marketing. I'm going to actually learn about this stuff. And then when you do, now you become or put yourself in the position to be a whole lot more, you know, successful in the business. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely. I mean, when you think about messaging and how we go after people and what type of advertisement, what type of image am I projecting to which group? That's pretty powerful. If you think about, people like seeing messaging and they absorb it faster, chances are they're going to act on it faster. And acting on it goes back to your velocity that you mentioned earlier. We've got to convert these things from suspects to leads and from leads into sales. Because at the end of the day, revenue fixes a lot of problems.
All right. Now, the last thing I will say before we move on is, you know, I know we got to figure out, you know, now that we understand the audience, right, now that we got that, you know, how do we get a hold of them and what methods can we use? And I would say this, that I think, you know, as a previous business owner, and I'm sure, you know, you feel the same way, you want to make a dollar scream. Right, you literally don't ever want to let it go, and you don't want to spend a whole lot of money, you know, on marketing. And I think there's a lot of really great tools and great things out there that can be really beneficial. You know, can you kind of like move us into the next part where we talk about, you know, the specifics and maybe how you use those specifics to be successful in your own right?
Absolutely, be glad to share some of that with the audience. But let's first describe what those messaging types are. And then what we're going to do is we're going to intersect those messaging types with our influencers and decision makers.
All right.
Let's go. So let's look at the messaging types here.
Okay.
We've got snail mail. Yeah, you remember that? It always still exists. And in fact, just over the July 4th weekend here, my snail mail delivery from the U.S. Postal Service had a whole bunch of flyers in it. I got to tell you that most of them ended up not being read. But it's still there, and it's still a viable alternative.
That's like the direct mail piece, right? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you there. But direct mail.
Absolutely.
Direct okay, mail. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Catalogs, which I do read on a regular basis, because sometimes flipping through a page is easier than flipping through a screen. Then there's email. And I don't know about you, Sherman, and I don't know about the audience out there, but my email blows up on a regular basis with, you know, different promotions from different corporations. And it's almost to the point where if I want to go out and buy something, all I have to do is wait a little bit longer, and all of a sudden I'll get a coupon in the mail for like 10% off or 20% off. And I ask the question many times in my small businesses, what value is that if I just delay the sale and they actually make less money?
Yeah.
So you have to be careful about email and email campaigns, making sure that they're relevant.
Well, yeah, and I think specifically about email, is so important is to not fill each email with every thought that you have about the greatest product that you sell. You know, I learned a long time ago that you read the first three sentences, and if it's really important, you keep going. If
right.
it's not, you delete it. And if they really need to get a hold of you, they send you another email. But I think, you know, overuse of graphics that don't download and too much information doesn't allow for a reader to want to open up that email or want to see something. And a lot of times, and let me ask you this, Dean, when you get emails that say, you know, 50% off or 20% off or coupon or buy this from me or hey, I'm a great partner and let me give you a 14 paragraph email as to why I am, what do you do with those? I mean, how does that psychologically affect you?
Well, I don't think I'm any different than anybody else out there that's listening to this right now. And that is that I call those initial benefit statements in terms of the subject matter or even the first line of the email, which comes up in, you know, sometimes a preview browser. If you don't capture me there, I'm gone and I'm deleting it. And in many cases, I can just, using the Outlook or some other mail client, I can right click and say junk mail and you'll never see the light of my inbox ever again. It's very simple to be excluded. And so your messaging type has to be extremely careful when you're doing email. It's so easy to do. Now, in terms of the next line over, we have phone, and I don't know if you all like telemarketers or not, but they're out there, they're still there. It seems like no matter how many times I put myself on the new do not call list, I'm still being called about certain loan capabilities and new credit cards and this and that and the other thing. But phones are an important piece to your sales and marketing. It doesn't go away, and in fact, phone becomes an extremely useful and viable alternative to anything in terms of talking to your existing customers. They do like to talk to you, and they will pick up the phone, and they will listen to you. And so phone is something we can't ignore. It's a viable alternative. But this thing, this is getting big. Text is getting really, really big. I don't know if you all have been recently been giving these different options from your bank to get text messages when certain checks clear, or text messages when your balance gets to be a certain level, text messages for this, text messages for that. And if you think your email box is filling up, my text message box is filling up as well. I don't know, how's yours look, Sherman?
Well, when it comes to texting, I don't know if I'm all that thrilled with this part of the marketing thing. And I think a lot of people are kind of like, well, you know, should I text them? You know, I mean, is that personal? But I've been getting a lot, and I want to touch on the you know, I have registered my cell phone several times on the do not call cell phone registry list, and we need to find out who to talk to because I still get quite a few calls. It was like, come on! It stopped when, you know, the home phone, but these cell phones. That's what I'm seeing a lot more of. But I think it would be effective. I think you have to be careful, right? You have to be careful with your marketing, tactics. So if it's a text that's really short with, hey, this is something neat to check out or whatnot, that gives some sort of context or gives them something. Is different from, you know, get a refinance your house for 1.9%. I don't know who you are, you know?
Well, Sherman, all I can tell you is that you're falling into Gen X. And we're going to cover Gen X in a little bit for you, and that'll make you feel a little bit better,
okay.
I think.
Okay.
There's this thing called Twitter, right? Every tweet here, tweet there. We even have political candidates running for president using Twitter for things. In fact, most recently, we saw a political candidate actually giving a position speech, and Twitter was having fact checks on it being sent out. It's a huge communications methodology. I don't know if the baby boomers or the greatest generation really have time to tweet, but or even to listen to a tweet. Yeah. But some people do. And if you look at the volume that goes out in terms of Twitter, you all hear about it on the news about, you know, like Jay-Z broke Twitter the other day, or Beyonce broke Twitter because of too many people getting on it. It's a viable messaging platform. And you cannot ignore it. It's there. It has a place in your toolbox for messaging. So let's try to put this together, huh? Because we've now got people, we know what our audience looks like, and we now have some messaging types. What's the intersection of those messaging types? Oh, wait a minute, you're absolutely right. I forgot a couple of messaging types, Jeremy. Oh my goodness.
A few more.
So we have Snapchat, which is a fast, quick, and sometimes rather nefarious way of getting communicating. We have Facebook, and if anybody didn't describe or define a market in its place, Facebook is the person who defined that whole social interaction. This guy, LinkedIn, just recently got acquired by this little small company called Microsoft, I understand. And so LinkedIn is another social platform, but it's more business to business as opposed to business to consumer, which is what you would see with Facebook or consumer to consumer with Facebook. LinkedIn is definitely the business to business scenario.
Yeah, you know what I think, you know, for two of those things, the Facebook, you know, that really relies with certain generations. You know, as I've noticed, you know, I've got a 15-year-old daughter who I say, you know, you can't be on Facebook, and she looks at me and she literally laughs, like, yeah, right, no one's on Facebook. And, you know, you think, okay, well, but it's still, I mean, for Generation X, right, and you know, the younger generation, it's huge. And now they have live streaming. They actually stream broadcasts over Facebook. I think it's fantastic. And I tell you, LinkedIn, I use a lot. And you can, anyone here in the audience, if you want to connect with me, you can just, you know, research me, Sherman Crancer. I will accept. I'm an open LinkedIn open networker. But it is a fantastic way to get a message out. A lot of times what I do is get out messages, you know, to the public about certain technologies, certain cool things that happen, and getting it out there. I think, you know, but that's the one of the marketing avenues that I use. However, it seems like there's a lot of avenues here that should all be kind of, you know, looked at, you know, together. And I think one that you just put up, was it Pinterest? I think it
Pinterest.
Was
Pinterest. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Tell us a little more about that. Was that one I don't know about?
Well, it's pictures, right? So pictures tell a story, and a picture's worth 1,000 words. I bet you it may be even worth more than 1,000 words nowadays with inflation. But if you can take a picture of your product and get your product out there, and they can click on that picture and all of a sudden be at your website, it's a great mechanism to get people to go from suspect to leads. So, and there's others out there. I only use Pinterest as an example. There's other people out there with picture systems as well. And then there's the unheralded Microsoft product called Yammer. And let me tell you, this is the best kept secret within the Microsoft family. And now it's getting even better with the ability to bring in folks outside of your local network and have literally a community of Yammer people sitting up and talking about products and your company, etc. Think about it as being Yelp on steroids, and you get to help monitor and manage the messaging even more importantly. So Yammer is something that I think is an untapped resource inside the world of social media.
So since we know that we are, you know, agnostic here, and we, you know, we talk about a lot of different things, we've talked about Facebook, we've talked about this. I think let me ask you a little bit more about Yammer, because maybe it's, so would you agree that it's like a Facebook for business type of thing, where you utilize you know, internal and external resources to help discuss what you're doing, how you're doing things, posting pictures and attachments and all that type of thing, a collaboration tool as well?
Well, absolutely, it does all that. But far more important is that you can actually do surveys inside Yammer and ask your customer to give you information back that's so relevant to, you know, how did I do today? Well, we all get those. But when you're in a Yammer discussion, it's something that's a quick boom, boom. And I don't have to open an email. I don't have to go to a website. I just say, yes, I like that. No, I don't like it. So thumbs up, thumbs down type of thing, like Facebook, right? So getting the voice of your customer coming back to you to tell you what they like and don't like about things is really important. Nobody likes being told what they didn't like.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but unfortunately, it's part of business. You need to understand what your employees did or didn't do right so you can correct that action. Or understand that that customer is not a good fit for your business, and maybe you shouldn't be targeting that market space. That's also a possible scenario, one that most people don't even think about.
Great.
So let's put this together. I call this the rainbow matrix. So you take a look at snail mail. Snail mail is really greatly defined to the baby boomers and the greatest generation. I told you openly today that I still read those catalogs when they come in, and my wife does too, and we like looking at those catalogs and still going through them and either dreaming about certain vacations that we'll never have or buying some Christmas presents or birthday presents for grandkids, etc. So greatest generation, baby boomers, absolutely snail mail is probably the very best methodology.
So basically, if you're reading this graph, just why don't you explain the graph? So on the left-hand side are the communication styles, and then on the top bar, it's the or the columns is the generations that actually use those.
Absolutely.
Right. Okay. So now that we have that, so snail mail is typically used by baby boomers and the greatest generation.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Let's just drop down one line to email.
Yes.
Well, Sherman, guess what? There you are. You are an email target.
Yes, I am. Yeah.
As are the baby boomers who are still in the email.
Okay.
But less so than the Gen X's. Gen X's grew up with email. This is their methodology of communicating. They'll actually have chats through email. And if you don't believe you've ever done that, think about it, Sherman. You probably have an email chat as opposed to a Twitter chat or anything else. Yeah. You use that methodology. Now we now take a look at phone, and check this out. Phone, you get a baby boomer talk about telemarketing, and they're going to go, yuck. And I just told you that, right?
Uh-huh.
And you even said, yuck. And you're a Gen X, right?
Yeah.
And I would imagine if we could find some Gen Ys and Gen Zs in the marketplace out there coming back, and maybe we had a Yammer session going, we could find out they also, too, would say, yuck. But the greatest generation actually does use the phone heavily and does relate to it. And actually, it's if you look at some of the things that go on during the business, most of the older generation, the greatest generation, do a lot of business over the phone. Well, text. You know, Sherman, you said you weren't a big guy on text. Well, you're in that column, right? But look, all of a sudden we've got Gen Z and Gen Y who would rather text than email. So I'm going to tell you that if you're in the Gen Z and Gen Y area, you're pretty much born to text, and they love that stuff. They were doing it in high school, they were doing it in college, they're doing it now in the middle of your business. They're texting their friends, and they're doing all sorts of things with text. Text is a heavily and growing methodology out there. At one time, when I was with my first mobile phones, text cost money. You know, you got so many texts per month, and all of a sudden, they started charging you like 5 or 6 cents a text. Now, pretty much every cell phone plan out there has unlimited texting. And you as a marketer, you as a salesperson should take advantage of that because, you know, while we still have the disclaimers, text messaging rates may apply, most likely they don't because almost everybody has unlimited plans.
So, with the texting, I guess, let me take a step back. So if I was to market to someone, I'd probably have a tougher time to send a text marketing message. I have gotten into text. But I will tell you something, I've gotten over the phone thing completely. I've gotten over the voicemail thing because I think it's entirely ineffective. And if you were to call my the mobile device that I have, it says, please don't leave a voicemail, text me. Because it's just easier, quicker, and I can respond to it without actually sitting on a voicemail and listening for the hour and a half the message. And I imagine that a lot of small businesses are just like that.
Oh yeah, the small businesses.
People.
People
like, don't have. I want to hear the yeah.
They just don't have time.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And if you talked about, I only read the first email, the first line of my email, or the subject matter, and I deleted it, or mowed the junk, you realize that time is that four-letter word that nobody wants to talk about.
Yeah.
And time is of the essence, and text is a very, very crucial tool. I went to an LA Kings game just the other day, and I could opt into a text message to be part of a silent auction to see if I could get a Wayne Gretzky jersey and all that. And now I have to opt out because I'm constantly getting bugged by them. But that's okay. I opted in. And by opting in, I told them who I was. If you go to Disneyland or any of the Disney resorts nowadays, you walk through, you can text a message in and you can enroll in a raffle for the day. Businesses are using text messages very creatively. It's not just about sending a message out. It's actually engaging the customer into doing something to earn something back. We're going to get a little bit more into that in a little bit.
Okay.
When we take a look at Twitter and Snapchat, we're going to kind of broadly brush these as Z and Ys. X is there for Twitter. Can't ignore them. But they're not. It's not the primary methodology. Twitter is very heavily used by Gen Y. And we see Gen Z adopting as well, along with Snapchat. They love Snapchat. They take their smartphones out, their little Apple iPhones. If you're in California, it's mostly what we have out here, some Android devices. And for those folks of us who have Windows phones, quick Snapchat and send out that picture and have it go away if need be. I want to spend some time, though, on the next guy down because this is the 800-pound gorilla.
Yeah.
They define the market space. They own the market space. Even Google, with Google Plus, is having a difficult time against these guys. They just are the big guy in the room. And Facebook, you cannot ignore the Facebook at all if you are a business-to-consumer-based environment. So I want you to spend some time thinking about your messaging on Facebook and who your audience really is. And that audience pretty much is Gen X and Gen Y. And while the Greatest Generation and the baby boomers are on Facebook, I'll bet you if you take a look at them carefully, it's a lot of grandkids pictures and about vacation pictures and not so much about social media and keeping up with people. LinkedIn.
That's the biggest purchasing power, right?
It is the biggest purchasing power.
Gen X, and what are they on? Facebook.
A lot on Facebook.
Facebook.
And
wow.
If you're on business to business, you just mentioned it. You openly accept everybody's, LinkedIn. So that's great, Sherman. Congratulations. But LinkedIn is an extremely viable business to business communications area.
Yeah.
And then, of course, as I said, the best kept secret out there is Yammer. Fast, quick, almost like Twitter, almost like text, but with some significant additional powers, such as surveying and sharing information back and forth, collaborating on documents, etc. And for those of you out there who have Microsoft Office 365, most likely your subscription already includes Yammer, and you probably just didn't even know. So talk to your Microsoft partner about Yammer. It's there, it's free, or it's included in the price of your subscription.
Great. Well, so it seems like there's so many things. There's so many, so many things out there. It's got to be complete chaos. How do you do all of this? How do you keep this all together? Can you kind of get us into that and tell us what your thoughts are? I mean, you're really the expert with growing your business. So please help us with that.
Well, Sherman, it's really the largest scale task that every small business has, every medium-sized business. Even if you're Nordstrom or some other large company like Target or Walmart, you have messaging problems. You actually have throngs of people. But the problem is our small and medium businesses that are listening to this today, they don't have throngs of marketers sitting out there doing brand management. They've got the owner around the kitchen table wondering, how am I going to increase business tomorrow? And let's take a look at how they might be able to do that with using some technology to help them out.
Do you think that it's possible that the owners of the small to medium-sized businesses put more emphasis on running their day-to-day business and literally little to none with sales and marketing motions? What is your experience with that? I want to clear that up. I don't think there's enough time spent on it.
Oh, absolutely. And I would challenge the users out there who are listening to this today or watching it. How much time do you spend talking internally in your company to other employees about your marketing message and your brand awareness and brand management? How much time do you spend talking to your special someone at home about it? And then compare that amount of time to the amount of time you spend watching sports or going out for hiking or whatever is your passion. And then compare that with running your business. Chances are, when you get home, you're balancing the books, running payroll, trying to figure out where the cash flow is going to come from. You're not thinking about brand management at all.
Yeah.
And what you need is something or someone to take over that responsibility for you. And yet, there's that thing called, well, if I hire somebody, it's going to cost me money. So the real question is, how can I leverage what I've got and be able to do what I need to do in this very complex world that we just described?
Very good.
So we need to have something that's engaging, something that's interactive. I talked to you about my personal experience with the LA Kings and with the Disneyland messaging I just went through with my grandkids. You need to figure out what that engagement is. You need to also look at opting in to things so that newsletters can be sent out to unique groups and be able to find who's going to get that. Virtualize, and what I mean by virtualize mean that it's got to be able to be done anywhere, anytime, anyhow, any place. You can't be set there and say, oh, I need to go to the office to be able to do this. Nope, you need to be able to do it at home. You need to be able to do it at a Starbucks or at a local coffee shop. You need to be able to do it when the time is right, when you have time, or when the inspiration strikes. And don't forget this, we're actually doing that today. Sherman, we are doing webinars.
We are doing a webinar, absolutely, Dean.
And there's nothing stopping you from popping up your laptop, whether that's an iBook or a Microsoft ThinkPad, Surface Pro, or even an IBM ThinkPad from Lenovo. You have a camera, you have audio and video capabilities. Create your own webinars. Put those out there on your website. Let's get going, because you are your best describer of your information and your business. let's do on-demand content, stuff that people can do at 1 o'clock in the morning because they're tired of infomercials. And they can pop on and look at whatever new product or some product information that you have out there, or service information. Whatever it is that your messaging is, it needs to be on demand. And let me tell you, Sherman, you look at websites today and the web hosters, loading content on websites is no longer an expensive issue. It's usually almost zero cost in terms of space.
And with with the increase of bandwidth, isn't so cumbersome. With cable at home, right?
Yeah.
I mean, okay, we can download it. It's not like, when we were sitting there, in the last couple of years, we'd click on it to download, and holy smokes, it'd be like, 10 minutes, you're going back to the stove, mm-hmm. putting a little, soup on, come back, oh, is it ready yet? That's good. I would extrapolate on the video thing, and I'm a firm believer of video. I'm a firm believer of using media, because I think that a lot of organizations out there are still stuck in the brick and mortar type of business. They're still stuck in hoping and praying that people are going to come in, based on a reputation. However, their competitors, the ones that are embracing it, the millennials, the Generation Ys, these younger groups are embracing video, and they're putting out content out there that is relevant, that people watch, and they're like, wow, they know what they're doing, right? I want to go talk to them. And to extrapolate a little bit on that as well, is that the video they're putting out isn't or doesn't have a lot to do with sale. It has to do with, let me help you understand something.
Yes.
Right, Dean? I mean, would you agree with that?
Absolutely. And relevance. You mentioned it several times just now. Relevant information and information, not sales, not marketing. It's, I want to help you understand my product and why it's so much better than somebody else's. Or I want to help you understand what you can use my product for. If you look at a lot of the infomercials, it's all about how you use the product, not about the product itself. And yes, if you stay tuned and you order now, you'll get 5 Ginzu knives. But that's part of the, virtually making a velocity go into sales, giving them something, some reason to pull the trigger and say, I want to buy now. So absolutely, video, on-demand video, absolutely key to marketing messaging. And it's neat. You can do it once, and it's there for as long as you keep it up on the website. So it's as relevant as it needs to be. And snippet messages goes back to texting and Yammer and Snapchat. It needs to be short, concise messages. Know that when you're sending that out, who the audience is. Gen Z, Gen Y, and Gen X, most likely. And so that messaging is a little different than you would go to, for instance, me, a baby boomer. The messaging needs to be more elaborate and more detailed. 2-minute updates. I'm a fan of 2-minute updates. Sherman, these are either audio or video or even small newsletters that you send out that can be read or consumed within 2 minutes. Actually, I would rather it be 90 seconds. And in fact, I keep telling my customers to try to make it as short as possible. Again, time, that 4-letter word that everybody hates to talk about, that's where we have these snippet messages go out and these updates about your new service or your new product, or you want to talk about the fact that, hey, I just passed 2,000 paint jobs in a month. Business is great. People like doing business with people who are successful. You should be telling people that you're successful. Don't be ashamed. It's great. Congratulations, and tell the world that you're successful.
So how many words do you think it is? If you're writing a script, this is I'll give you the answer. But how many words do you think you can write on a piece of paper to fit into a 2-minute update?
Well, if you're a really slow talker, it's like 2 paragraphs. And if you're like me, it may be 5 or 6 paragraphs, Sherman.
Yeah, if you're talking about, yeah. So it's 156 words.
Really?
That's what it is.
That's it.
You'll come in right at 2 minutes just about every single time. We were actually putting together a series of videos that we wanted to make sure that are bite-sized. And that's what the producer from a big production studio here in Southern California told us.
Wow.
Like, just that's where you write it to, plus or minus. But just a tip for everybody. And then the 2-minute, I'd say, do something that people want to hear and learn about. There's a lot of how-to stuff.
Yep.
How-to, right? But I guess the next thing is the I think you want to talk about reward systems. That sounds pretty cool.
Absolutely. Reward systems, some way of doing something to give back. So I talked about the Disneyland. I text in and I can be enrolled in a drawing for, you know, a variety of things. I never won, so I can't remember what those were. But it doesn't matter that I didn't remember that what the prizes were. I remembered that I actually did it and that I felt that I was included in some reward system. And whether that's a frequent buyer reward system or it's a you've been with us 10 times, I want to have you come in this month and this month only, I'll give you a special deal. But just make sure that, you know, just do it once a year. If you want to do it on their birthdays, if it's a consumer-based type of thing, or if it's anniversary date on their first order as a business. You want something around a reward system so that you engage the customers. You know, for the LA Kings, I got engaged because it was a charity, and if I bought something on the silent auction, it would go to charity. And you, there's nothing stopping you as a small business from working with a charity to be part of that. So reward systems are encouraging people to do that. Think about when you go to a restaurant and you do a roundup for charity. It's so easy. 50 cents more, 22 cents, and it all adds up. You'd be surprised. So messaging systems, we have to now figure out how we do all this, right? So how do you go out and do this on Twitter, and how do you do that in Yammer, and how do you do this on email, and what about this? You need some sort of organization, and whether that's Microsoft CRM online or things like Constant Contact or using Microsoft Office 365 and Excel and Word documents, you need to put together campaigns. This is messaging scripts that says, okay, this is a guy, I know this guy, he's a campaign B, and let it go. And they get a stream of email if that's their thing, or they get a stream of texts if that's their thing, or we get a whole bunch of Yammer and we ask them to join our Yammer group. Whatever it is, we want to be able to control it, but most importantly, we need to be able to understand what happened. And so we need these systems to report back some business intelligence to us that says, this is what happened, this is working, this is not working. So we keep going back and changing our messaging until it actually refines itself. And if it's only 156 characters or words, Sherman, that refinement isn't that onerous, I don't think.
Yeah. You'd be surprised. You're like, oh, it's 156 words, right? And then you're like, then you start typing. Next thing you know it, you know, you're like at 290, you know, and you're like, oh gosh, now I got to cut it down. But the cool thing about that, though, is that it actually allows you to craft your message and become extremely powerful, you know, within that. You know, I will have to say that, you know, yeah, we have tools that are out there, but there's Constant Contact. You know, there's a lot of other organizations that have different types of tools and, you know, or messaging systems. And we're referencing these because these are some of the things that we use on a daily basis.
Absolutely.
And how we use to automate systems. Because I think if you go back to the last one we were talking about, messaging types, that I think if you were to say, okay, now that I see all those, well, how, I got to have a system. Right, I gotta have a system to be able to touch on each one of those throughout my day or throughout my month or my year. So I think these tools are you know, a great thing to highlight and say that, you know, you got to use something and you got to use a system.
They have to be virtualized. You need to be able to be any place, anytime, anywhere, anyhow.
Yeah,
and you're right. The key there is customer relationship management (CRM), and there are lots of CRM systems out there. Microsoft makes one of the better versions of it because it's one of the lowest cost implementations that you can have. But there are others out there to help you manage that message and Constant Contact to manage and understand how often do people open it, how long were they on it, et cetera. Those tools are very important to keeping your messaging current and constant. Well, then there's the let's get social. And, you know, we should have put Facebook on this panel because how could you not have getting social without Facebook, but LinkedIn and Skype for Business are, and Microsoft Yammer are all social methods. If you have an Office 365 subscription, most likely you have a Skype for Business, which allows you to do webinars on your own. You don't need a fancy system. You've got all the tools available right away. You can have online seminars where you can actually talk to people about how to use your product or how to take care of your product. Or, hey, if we go back to your car paint guy, how to wax your car to keep it looking like brand new so you don't have to come back and see me so often. And that is added value. And that added value actually resonates with referral business. So it's something you can't ignore. And then we talk about gamifying and getting call words and opt-in classes. These are all ways to engage customers. So gamify, there's a great book from Yukai Chow that you can get on Amazon.com and at your favorite bookstore. And it's a wonderful read. It's a fast read, but it tells you about how you can create a game without it being monetary and just a reward system of points. And those points don't have to translate. They just have to do with, are you a gold level or are you a silver level member of my company? Get a call word. For instance, if you dial 1-800-555-5555 here in Southern California or 800-555-0555 anywhere in the continental United States and say the word Microsoft, my cell phone rings. And you don't understand how powerful that is. I can tell people that, and all of a sudden, if I say 800-555-5555 in Southern California, say the word Microsoft, I've got a brand, and people know how to get a hold of me right away. And you can try it yourself, and my cell phone will probably blow up here in a little bit, but we'll get back to you. And then opt-in classes and demonstrations where you can actually have demonstrations of your product or demonstrations of how to keep your product better or keep it more current or keep it in good working condition. This goes back to that helpfulness that Sherman was mentioned earlier. And if you're not doing this now, you need to start. And if you don't start soon, the train has left the station. So I'm telling you that you need to sit back and take a look at how you go to market and who you're talking to and understand that those different generations have a different way of being talked to. And we want to use the best method to get the most out of our time and effort. And there are plenty of tools out there. Feel free to contact me. I'm available, you know, not 24/7, but I'm pretty available. And here is my local phone number, if you don't remember the 800 number, 323-465-9140. It goes straight to my desk, and there's my email. Please take the time to ask me the questions. I'll be glad to get back to you and tell you how you can manage your business and uplift it even further and make more revenue and hopefully more profits.
Dean, hey, thank you so much. We really appreciate, you know, your insights. You're an absolute wonderful partner, wonderful business person, great friend of mine, a true leader, visionary in your industry, and it is just a delight to have you on today. So, you know, now we talked about marketing, right? We talked about, knowing the audience. We talked about tailoring the audience, having a campaign design, follow-up and close-up. We went over, you know, the target. Who was the target, right? You know, who do we define as the audience and who has the purchasing power? Obviously, it's the Generation X and Y that have the purchasing power. We talked about messaging types and then, you know, how to engage with that. So now that you have all this together, what do you do to get these campaigns going? And, you know, you got to figure out how they're doing and what type of revenue is coming from these types of engagements. So next month, we're going to have another great program. It's on the power of business intelligence. Yes. Have you ever thought of, okay, well, I got a marketing campaign here today and it's working, but how do I know it's working? Well, I know that there's sales have gone up, but how much is that attributed to me being a wonderful, you know, business owner or actually my campaign? You know, do you know how to track sales and marketing and operations and finance? Are you able to see in real time at any one point, you know, what's going on with your business? I'll leave you with one thing. Most of us check our bank balance every day, and if you don't, you should, okay? But if you check it every day, imagine being able to look at your business in the same exact fashion and then use artificial intelligence to forecast 6 months out. Look, thank you so much. You know, my name is Sherman Krancer, and I am the Partner Channel Development Manager for the Western Region for Microsoft. Thank you to the SBA. Sheree Coates, Christopher Lorenzana, Alberto Quijada. Thank you again to Dean Edward. We really appreciate it. If you want to contact me, you know, please contact me on my contact slide here. My email is skrancer@microsoft.com. Hey, we thank you so much for being here today. I know it's the day after July 4th. We look forward. It's always the first Tuesday of every month at 1 o'clock p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and it's always on demand and ready for your viewing 10 minutes after the broadcast. Thank you so much for your time today. We really appreciate it and have a great day. Bye-bye.